Yo Deck with Gordon, brought to us by Man's Best Friend and A Number One Air.
All right, the real story. The real story. I will give you in just a moment, but first I want George to share a Michael Irvin tweet about the Tony Romo press conference.
You want me to do it in Michael's voice?
Sure. That's an added bonus that other stations can't give you.
Today I saw Tony Romo share the toughest of experiences with A++ class. Mad love and respect for my friend. Hashtag Cowboys Nation. Hashtag class. And then the emojis. A heart. A star. Two hands clapping together. A football. And a diamond ring that looks like an engagement ring.
What is that?
And then a golden cup. See, that doesn't look like a Super Bowl ring, does it? It looks like
the closest he could get, man.
But looks like an engagement ring. But Tony doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. Why did he put that on there?
He's giving him one.
Is he taunting?
He's giving him one of his.
Why all the emojis? The playmaker shouldn't use emojis.
Heart, star, clapping hands, a football, an engagement ring, and then a gold cup.
Yes. Because there's a chance that the Cowboys can win the gold cup this year. All right, just it was a nice thing that Michael.
It was. It was a very nice tweet. It was a very nice tweet.
All right, and speaking of nice things, Tony Romo has handled this perfectly from the very beginning. He never added fuel to this fire. He never spoke to reporters in a way that stirred up the embers of quarterback controversy. And then when he does speak to the media, he issued that classy statement yesterday. That basically says that this has his approval, that this switch has gone on. And I think that didn't Tony Romo do an incredible amount to heal all divisions that some Cowboy fans have with him from going way back to Bobby Carpenter Cabo days or whatever? I mean, the guy behaved as classy as you possibly can in this situation.
Yep.
And I think that this... Cowboys Nation ought to all be on Tony Romo's side now, right? You ought to like the guy, and you ought to put aside a lot of any negative feelings you had about him being a Hollywood quarterback and whatnot.
Yes, because it's still, I still think it stands true that this team was, you can say, well, yeah, they're 8-8 just about every year. Well, if they didn't have Romo, they would have been, you'd had more of what you had last year. I think last year showed his value a lot, too, when he's out and they have a 4-12 year.
Jerry Jones was right about Dak Prescott and drafting him. And Jerry Jones was right about Tony Romo. I know you don't want to give Jerry credit for drafting Dak Prescott. But I am going to give him credit
okay.
for that.
He is the GM.
Right, he's the GM, and we credit him for all busts.
Yeah.
But we can't credit him for hitting on anyone.
Yeah. We have
it's,
to. We
it's
have
a little
to give
unfair
him,
of us.
We have to give him credit, but if he knew Dak was this good, he would have taken him at the very worst in the second round, and maybe even with that first round pick, probably still would have taken Elliott. So he got really lucky.
Yes,
with
he
Dak,
did.
But he did take him,
and you do have to get lucky in the draft. I mean, heck. Mm-hmm. Jerry was the only GM that did get lucky with Dak. That deserves some credit right there. There were all, every other GM could have taken him too at one point mm-hmm. and didn't.
He took him with the second pick of theirs in the fourth round. He didn't even take him with the first chance in the fourth
credit.
Round.
Come on.
They
come
took
on.
Him.
We should have stopped with you have to give him credit. That's the sentence I want to focus on with you.
Hey, what'd you guys think of Babe Laufenberg's tweets?
Well,
did you
I just
read wanna, these?
Let me add my second point to that. He was right in taking Dak, and he was right about Tony Romo, that Tony Romo was a miracle. And we can't forget that Tony Romo was a miracle for this team
yes.
for a decade.
Yeah.
So Tony Romo should have healed divisions. Now, I think this is setting up. This could be the greatest sports story of all time. Because imagine this scenario. Dak gets hurt late in the season or maybe playoffs. Maybe... Mm-hmm. Maybe in the NFC Championship game, Tony Romo comes in late in the season, late in the playoffs, perhaps even Super Bowl. Tony's number is called for some reason. And Tony Romo actually does win a Super Bowl and you have these two quarterbacks to thank for it, is that not the perfect ending to Tony's career? Now, I think that Tony, if he wins a Super Bowl, let's just say my fantasy scenario comes true.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Tony Romo, do you retire then, knowing you still have probably a little gas left in the tank, but you've just won a Super Bowl with the team that you made your name with, that is the fairy tale ending. It's the perfect time to go, a perfect way to go out, even if it's not the exact right time you would want to go out.
I don't think he would retire.
You don't think he would give up a season?
I don't think he would.
He's also got 40 million reasons not to retire. He's got a lot of money left on that contract.
But the Cowboys would trade him or cut him in the offseason, right?
If he won the Super Bowl for them?
Right. They're not going to keep him on as that expensive of a backup. They're just not.
No.
But if he won the Super Bowl for
even
them,
if he... Well, the only way I can say...
Are you saying he helped him win it, or he came back in and he won the Super Bowl?
He comes back in and he wins the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So at that point, either you've got to make him the starter, or you have to let him go.
Right.
And I think you let him go.
It would be Denver. What Denver did with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
He came back in late in the season, led them to the Super Bowl.
In a shaky way, Peyton led him to the Super Bowl.
Well, he did. They won
way.
The Super
yeah,
Bowl.
Okay.
But then Peyton retired.
Well,
right?
But I doubt they were really begging him to stay.
Right. He was certainly more at the end of his line than Tony is. We
correct.
Think. We haven't seen Tony in a couple of years, it
that
seems like.
That is true,
but,
yes.
You know, in the Bledsoe-Brady story, Bledsoe got to come back in the postseason for a little bit. Not like an entire game and didn't lead him to the Super Bowl, but he did come back in and help him win a playoff game.
AFC title game, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's another fairy tale ending for Tony, but it just doesn't end here, and that is that they play out the season, Tony never sees the field. Then he is released by the Cowboys or traded, and let's say he's quarterbacking, I don't know, Denver next year. They've decided that Simeon isn't the guy. And Tony leads Denver with that defense to a Super Bowl victory.
Right. But that's not as good a fairy tale ending.
And beats the
Cowboys.
It's him
going to
that's revenge.
Some other team and winning a Super Bowl, having never won one here.
It's fairy tale for him to win one. But yes, it's got more of a revenge angle to it.
Right. The Cowboy fantasy is that Tony comes in the playoffs and helps this team, truly helps this team win a Super Bowl. Not letting Dak sit at the end of a game that's out of control.
Right.
You know, that he actually helps the team win a Super Bowl, and he finally gets his ring, justifiably, right? He actually does help the team win that game. Like, he is a deciding factor. Like, he really engineers some game-winning drives, that sort of thing.
Hey, very quickly, I wanted to bounce Babe's tweet off of you guys.
Yes.
He said, first glance on Romo's presser, don't fawn over speech. This is Babe Laufenberg of the Cowboys Radio Network. Don't fawn over speech. Anything short of Dak should be the quarterback would have been silly, and everyone knows it. Then he tweeted a few moments later, clarifying tweet, Romo did the right thing, but it was the only thing he could do. No one in right mind would say anything else.
Well, I disagree with Babe here, because I think tone and tenor are huge in this speech. You know, Tony could say the right thing, but you can read body language, and all the other words that he chooses around it could give more of a hedging feel to it, a more begrudging feel to it. And Tony did not have that tone.
Yeah, and he didn't have to do that yesterday. He could have just kept on going and waited for his time to say something.
Yeah, could have kept quiet and could have been on the bench all suited up. And as soon as Dak loses a fumble like he did this past week, Tony kind of picks up his helmet, stands on the sidelines, gets a little closer to Garrett. I mean, he could have done a lot of stuff to keep this ridiculous drama going.
Yeah, I disagreed with his tweets as well. And his tweets were the only negative tweets or comments that I saw about the Tony Romo press conference. That's why I said earlier in the show, Tony was almost universally hailed for his press conference yesterday.
It's weird that the lone holdout is paid by the Cowboys.
Yes. All right, Gordo, thanks. That ticket Wednesday morning with the Musers. Let's muse in the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
You guys remember when I told you the story of that Grand Prairie teacher that was I guess, pending trial in Oklahoma, accused of threatening a, said that he was capable of a Sandy Hook type shooting.
Yeah.
And he gets a job with Fort Worth ISD at first, and then they find out that he had these pending charges up in Oklahoma for making that claim during a divorce case up there when he threatened the two lawyers of his soon-to-be ex-wife, saying that he was capable of a Sandy Hook type shooting. So Fort Worth ISD lets him go. Then Grand Prairie ISD hires him, and he tells the students there not to mess with him, just Google my name. That's what he says. Wow. And they Google it, and they find out this story. Well, it turns out he was found guilty this week in that in the 2013 charges that he was capable of pulling off a Sandy Hook type shooting. So Christopher Arthur Durham, the 46-year-old teacher, found guilty. He does not face jail time. The jury fixed his punishment at a fine of $500. Now, he's still on paid administrative leave from Grand Prairie ISD. And I guess he will finish out this year paid, even though he doesn't have to work.
Did you see the report on Channel 8 about this type thing, about how one teacher can go from one district to the next and they have no idea why they were fired before?
Yeah, that seems so strange
to me. Or any sort of record, and it's because they will sometimes sign, I guess, some sort of confidentiality clause when mm-hmm. the legal expense is such that a school district doesn't want to go and have some sort of back and forth with their attorneys, so they sign this some sort of document that sometimes wipes all that out. That's just crazy to me.
For any profession. Of all professions, shouldn't that be the one that you're allowed to share the information?
Yes.
Most transparently?
Yes. It's ridiculous.
Hmm. Well, so this guy, I guess, will get paid. He's on probably a pretty long kick-ass vacation right now, as he doesn't have to work but gets paid all year. And surely they'll let him go at the end of this year, right?
And then he shows up at another district, maybe in another state.
And as long as he doesn't warn people to Google his name,
he'll be teaching next fall.
He'll be fine. Then we get this story that Ted Cruz apparently met with Donald Trump for a couple hours yesterday at Trump Tower. And he says he looks forward to helping the president-elect drain the swamp.
He met with Lion Ted.
Yeah, Donald met with Lion Ted.
I said Lion Ted, L-I-O-N, okay?
He's a lion.
Because he has a large roar for the...
Why have I made him Bill Cosby all of a sudden?
Every neighborhood has a kid with a big shirt on.
You know, the day or two after the election, I was somewhat optimistic, at least fingers crossed, holding out hope that Donald Trump would rein himself in and be more normal and not be as wheels off and as divisive. But the names that are popping up for his cabinet and for his close advisors,
they're inspiring.
They're nothing less than alarming. Ted Cruz being one of them. Rudy Giuliani as Secretary of State. Steve Bannon as his, what is he now?
Chief Strategist.
Uh-huh. Man, this is, it's alarming.
And did you see, by the way, the tweeter-in-chief was at it again this morning, calling the New York Times the failing New York Times for what they reported.
Whoever is closest to him just needs to get him off of Twitter for a while. That's step one.
Good launch.
Then we have this little note that sources have told ESPN that the Milwaukee Bucks, Memphis Grizzlies, and the Dallas Mavericks have moved away from Trump hotels when they're traveling on the road. They're doing this in New York and Chicago, so they don't want to be associated with Donald Trump's name.
No surprise that Mark Cuban would have his team move out of Trump hotels.
Yeah. Trump.
The thing I don't like about him is he's petty.
Seven other teams told ESPN that they are still currently scheduled to stay at the Trump-branded properties. So, but those eight teams have not been named. In other news, we get sports news, too. Von Miller followed that crazy story.
I don't think I have.
I don't think so.
Okay. So Von Miller's a pretty good little player.
Yeah.
Pretty good little player. As a matter of fact, I believe he is the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. Correct.
Is that what your notes say?
That does say somewhere in here, I think.
He's the reigning Super Bowl MVP.
He is.
He's been
correct.
Everywhere.
Yes. The contract he signed makes him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history based on guaranteed money.
He's also the Metroplex's own, DeSoto's own.
DeSoto Eagle.
Yeah. So that's all I have to say about him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, what's the story?
Oh, a woman is blackmailing him over a sex tape.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Elizabeth Ruiz apparently allegedly was threatening to make this tape public after she filmed them having sex in private on her mobile phone. And she has like 300,000 followers on Instagram. She's an aspiring actress.
Hmm.
But she has offered to sell the tape to Von Miller for $2.5 million. Well, he goes to court, gets an injunction against the release of this tape, doesn't pay the $2.5 million she requested, but tries to block her from releasing this. And this was recorded when Von Miller went on vacation to Cancun back in June. And she was filming this, and he knew that she was filming it, but he requested that she keep the video private and not release it.
Oh, okay.
Which is a foolproof
no problem.
Plan, if you ask me. So he had rented this 11,000 square foot luxury home on the beach down there in
Cancun.
Boy,
he had quite the off season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
If there's ever a time to have a kick ass off season, that is the time to make sex tapes.
I guess
so. After you're a Super Bowl MVP. So, and there were photos that were shared on social media that showed Von Miller and Elizabeth Ruiz and others on this trip enjoying this vacation. They were riding jet skis and lounging around poolside. They were even doing some parasailing.
Pretty good little time.
Yeah, pretty good little time. Now, all the footage from those events was fine to be released, but then when it came time for that most intimate of acts, he even asked her, I think, on the video to delete it, and she said, gotcha, to that request, which is pretty genius response on her part.
It's not a yes.
It can go each way. No. It can be read as, no, I gotcha. Or, oh, I understand. Yes, of course. So she apparently tried to sell the tape to TMZ through a sex tape broker. Did you know that we had those?
No.
And now there's a temporary order preventing her from selling that. So,
our thoughts and prayers, Siobhan Miller. No,
count the red flags in this story, this headline. Celebrity chef.
One.
Why? That's not.
Okay, zero.
Celebrity chef Matthew Tybee, age 55.
One.
Why?
He's getting up there.
I don't know. That's maybe pretty young these days to me.
Maybe more prone to do something wheels off.
Dies. Whoa.
Two.
Way to go, George. Go ahead.
I was just listening to you guys do it. I didn't say anything.
Go ahead, Craig. Go ahead with the whole, it's getting up there.
Okay.
Probably getting close to death.
All right, give me a little music. No, never
what kind
mind.
Of music?
Never mind.
Oh, my gosh. What happened?
Hey, did you hear about the celebrity chef?
Yeah,
he's getting
what about
on
him?
Up there in years.
No,
passed,
what happened?
He passed away.
George, you're so lucky that George is sitting at the first table at the nightclub.
Corby's with him.
I think you guys are overlapping it.
Yeah,
routine. dies from brain tumor. Dies from brain tumor while awaiting trial on charges of having sex with an underage boy.
Oh, jeez.
I don't feel so sorry for him now.
Why? The kid's a teenage boy. He doesn't deserve to be.
No, the guy who assaulted him sexually.
Matthew Tybee died Monday after lapsing into a coma in a New York hospital, Craig.
Have you ever heard of him? Celebrity chef?
Mm-mm.
What's he on?
He was charged with sexual exploitation of a minor and having child pornography.
He's no Bobby Flay.
He was accused of having Grex with a teenage boy in a Best Buy parking lot.
Yeah. All right.
God.
Don't make us
Wait,
feel
why
this.
Is that the most disgusting
That's
detail?
That's the sad story.
The Best Buy parking lot.
Well, no, I said, yeah, before you got to the Best Buy parking lot.
Is that worse than a Fries?
Like, yeah, what does it matter?
Which big box store it is? It's the act.
If it had been the Neiman Marcus parking lot, it would have been all right.
More classy assault.
Upon further review, I'm disgusted, Ray, before you mentioned which parking lot it was.
All right. And then we had a strange incident that happened up at the Oklahoma airport that is also related to sports.
Boy, is it. This is very sad.
Yeah.
Shots were fired in a parking lot at Will Rogers World Airport outside of OKC just before 1 p.m. yesterday. And the person who was shot and killed was 52-year-old Michael Winchester, who is the father to the Kansas City Chiefs' James Winchester.
Mike Winchester was the punter on the 1985 national championship team for the Sooners.
Oh, man.
And his son is the deep snapper for the Chiefs.
Yeah. Huh?
Very sad.
Michael Winchester, also an employee of Southwest Airlines, and he was mortally wounded in this shooting, and he later passed away. Well, then they do a search, and they find a sniper's nest and from where the shots came from, and there was a body near the sniper's nest with a gunshot wound to the head inside of a pickup truck in that parking garage. And they believe that was the gunman who then killed himself. So they have, as of this reporting, they hadn't identified the guy who killed him, but they say it appeared premeditated. It was a white male, and it appeared premeditated.
Awful.
And they think it may have been a former disgruntled employee at the airport.
Who had a specific bone to pick with Winchester?
I guess so.
Well, Winchester also has three daughters, two of them OU athletes. Carolyn played basketball or plays basketball, and Becca on the rowing team. So sad.
And I can't believe they did it. Carrie Fisher has a new book coming out in which she talks about the three-month affair that she had with Han Solo back in 1976.
They had an affair?
Yes, on the set of the first Star Wars. She was only 19 when she first slept with Harrison Ford, who was 34 at the time. He was the father of two, and she described him as not a very good lover. I don't want to hear that.
Come on.
He's Han Solo in Indiana Jones. He's the most awesome lover.
Star Wars.
I don't know why Mike say it that way.
I don't know.
Star Wars.
She described herself even as a bad kisser and said that she was sexually inexperienced. But he was really handsome and he was very kind to her. And she really fell for him. So
that happened.
Why is she just now telling us this?
All right, birthdays.
Daddy with a Star Wars.
I'm insane now. Actor David Leisure from Empty Nest is 66. Now, I think that this guy is also Joe Greed or Joe Isuzu or something
Joe
like
Isuzu.
That. Joe Isuzu.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he is an actor.
Well, one of my boyhood crushes, Lisa Bonet, turns 49 today.
Yeah, you would have enjoyed Ray Donovan. She was on there this season.
Really?
She looked great.
Oh, love Lisa Bonet. You ever seen Angel Heart?
Nope.
Heard Mickey Rourke?
I don't know, Gordon.
Fabulous movie.
That creeped me out.
One of the best.
Because the reason I'm asking about it is because of a sex scene. And then Fernando chimes in.
Oh, fabulous.
Well, it's one of the greatest movies
I gave
overall.
It four erections out of five.
No, I'm not you, Gordon.
Yeah. Maggie Gyllenhaal is 39. And in sports birthdays, we have Dwight Gooden turning 52.
Doc.
Kari Lehtinen turning 33. And Corey Pavin turning 57.
One of my doppelgangers.
You're up to date.
All right, that's Muse. It's Gordo's Corner. Brought to us by Load Bearing Wall Pros and by Pentagon Federal Credit Union.
All right. Whoops. Sorry. Let's get into some troubling things, shall we? Hit the troubling things, Sounder Expo. See where Lebron and Phil Jackson are going at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to get your take on this. So Phil Jackson does an interview, and he says that LeBron has always demanded preferential treatment. And he called LeBron's departure from the Heat, when he left as a free agent, a slap in the face to the Heat organization. And Phil Jackson also talked about this time when LeBron asked for the team to stay over in Cleveland while on a road trip. And it was a request that put the coach, Spoelstra, in a bind, put Eric Spoelstra in a bind. Phil Jackson said, "You can't hold up a whole team because you and your mom and your posse want to spend an extra night in Cleveland." So Phil Jackson says this, and LeBron is very offended by the word posse, because LeBron has surrounded himself with childhood friends during his career. And he said, "We see the success that we have." This is LeBron talking. "But then there's always someone that lets you know how far we still have to go as African Americans."
I think he's right to be offended about Phil calling his friends a posse, because LeBron has been really loyal to childhood friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, not quite like the Allen Iverson group of friends that was more of a posse. A lot of hangers-on and guys that may have been taking advantage
of him. Isn't that the definition of a posse, though?
Here's the troubling thing to me, is that, so Phil Jackson has no goodwill built up. I mean, is Phil Jackson a notable racist?
No.
No, I would say anything but.
So why isn't the reaction, and this is a broader cultural issue in which we will make sure, there is no outrage that we don't make sure we press full charges on. And is there a possibility that Phil Jackson does not know that the word posse has a negative connotation? It usually means the group of friends you hang around with, particularly if you're an athlete.
Well, LeBron's buddy Maverick Carter, his business associate, said that he does not consider Phil Jackson a racist. Still isn't happy with the word, though.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think anybody considers Phil a racist. I think
it's unhappy with the word.
This is just LeBron saying, this isn't really a posse. These are my dearest friends.
Right. So LeBron's point, even though not stated this way, is that, hey, I don't think that Phil means something racist about this.
Right.
It's just, this is a tone-deaf term that is now pejorative, or maybe it always has been. Is it? I don't know. I mean, in other words, is there an argument to be made for Phil Jackson's ignorance?
Yes.
Not willful ignorance or not malicious ignorance, but just kind of like, hey, this term is considered offensive. It's not neutral to me. I think that, I don't know, and maybe this is because I always get a little bit concerned, because haven't you guys ever been caught in this? The, oh, wait, didn't know this was a negative term now, or didn't know that this has become negative thinking.
Yeah, I think the reason that it struck an odd chord with LeBron is because the whole tone of what Phil said was negative towards LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron needs special treatment. LeBron needs this. He's got to have his posse around him. Whereas if he had said, LeBron is the greatest teammate ever.
Yeah, and I love everyone in his posse.
In his posse, LeBron wouldn't have had a problem with it.
Right. But so is posse one of those terms that is always racially loaded and negative?
I don't think so. It could get that way, but I don't think it is.
I wonder. I think it may be.
I think about a Clint Eastwood movie when I think posse.
Well,
like the
how
Banditos.
Old are you then?
Old.
And I'm going to tie this back in with broader culture. And that I think that a lot of Trump supporters feel that I think they get bitten by this thing of, wait a second, what now? You can't refer to someone you don't know as a he or she, because that's not taken into account the full complement of genders that we have available that someone can identify themselves as. What they feel like the world has moved on and the tone policing is out of control, and the things that you say that may be wrong that you don't know about that you can be hit for has grown so large that it's getting to the point of insanity to a large part of America. And I think that this idea that we don't take intent into account ever, it's all on what someone says,
mm-hmm.
And can we run them out of town on a rail because we've got the politically correct sledgehammer to hit over their head? I think that's what has fueled this dissatisfaction that helped Trump win the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a very small example, and Phil Jackson is not going to lose a job or be critically injured by this. But we've seen enough examples. Heck, I've seen it in my own dirty lib party, right? The leftists that I hang around with. That one of them thinks they're saying something that is very kind and complimentary to a minority or a person of color or whatever, and then they get bitten by white privilege and they get run out of town on a rail at a party that they thought they were just one of the hosts of just a moment ago.
Right.
And now all of a sudden culture moved on overnight and they didn't get the memo. And that at some point, are we getting a little bit crazy with the public shaming and the calling people to the carpet instead of the, hey, you know, that term is, it sounds a little bit offensive, you know. I know you didn't mean anything by it, but so on.
Yeah, because everything's got to be knee-jerk, and I think everybody wakes up each day wanting to take somebody down.
Whoa. That's a pretty strong claim. Speaking of taking someone down, what that Trump supporter did to the anti-Trump protester at Ohio State University, unbelievable. You mentioned it earlier in the show, Craig, where this guy is seen at the bottom of midway point on the stairs, and he's got a bullhorn, and he's doing some generic, we don't have to compromise chant or something. And this guy comes from the top of the stairs, runs down the stairs, and pushes the bullhorn dude in the back, calling him an idiot, pushes him in the back, and the guy goes flying face first down the stairs, lands on his bullhorn and his face, breaks his glasses and the bullhorn.
It is so violent.
So as soon as that happens, a guy in one of those anonymous Guy Fawkes masks shows up and lunges at the guy who pushed the other dude, gets in a fight with him, and some female bystanders step in and shield that guy getting attacked. It was just mayhem all the way around. And it turns out the guy with the bullhorn wasn't even a Hillary guy. He was a guy who didn't vote for either party because he thinks that both parties only represent the interest of corporations in the 1%. Part of the maddening nature of the world. I don't even know what side anyone's on anymore. Who's protesting what? It's just we all just want to go at each other and rip each other's throats out. Well. But that, how that dude that, I don't know whether he was a Trump supporter that pushed him or whatever, but the dude who pushed the guy, you're pushing a person, a human being, down the stairs face first because you don't like what he's saying on a bullhorn?
He could have killed him. He could have broken the guy's neck.
Now, once again, grain of salt. This is being reported in the media, so these human beings may not even exist in the world. Matter of fact, do I know for a fact there is an Ohio State University?
Oh, yeah.
No, I've never set foot on that. I've only seen it on television. Football games, that's through the media.
Yeah.
So you really can't trust whether this is a true story, because we don't know if those places or people really exist. So, grain of salt.
Okay.
If it is true, though, those would be my comments on that story. Then we have this story in Texas. Did you know that vaccination rates in Texas are very high overall? It's like 98% of school kids, right? Because we have requirements, vaccination requirements to go to school. However, we also have a law that allows for non-medical exemptions to the vaccination requirements, which means that parents can just opt out for any reason. So it seems weird to call them mandatory vaccinations when you can opt out of it. But vaccination rates in Texas still are at 98%. However, 2003, there were 2,300 conscientious exemptions. And this year, there were almost 45,000 conscientious exemptions. Because of the whole anti-vax, vaccinations cause autism, all that discredited science, fear making people opt their kids out of it, which has created a situation where we have clusters of unvaccinated children.
Is that the number one argument against it, the fear of autism, or is it just a government is making us do this fear?
Well,
I've heard that.
Most fear is irrational in life. And as a matter of fact, fear is just kind of irrationality's playground. I mean, it can just run amok. And you get the fear of something can happen to your kids, which is a primal type reaction. And you get all sorts of vaccinations cause autism. Hey, it's the government wanting us to do that in order to maybe probably control us. It's a complicit drug that they put in you that makes you very compliant with what the government wants you to do. And any sort of fanciful story satisfies our fear hunger while also satisfying our very thin veneer of rationale. Hey, the government is big and it wants us to do what it wants us to do, and it's making us do this. Therefore, connect the dots, man!
You know, the whole fear-mongering topic, certainly not new. This has been going on for the history of humanity. We'll never break out of that, right?
No.
We will always be brought to attention whenever someone says something that plays upon our darkest fears.
And can you make the case fear is our most powerful emotion?
Yes.
Because most anger is in many ways disguised fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's fear of another. It's fear of change. It's fear of all that that causes these reactions of anger a lot of times. So fear has to be our greatest emotion. And the way to control people, and great dictators have known this for forever, you gin up fear, and then you tell them that you have the solution to their fear.
Mm-hmm.
You make them fear some anonymous other, hey, ISIS is about 2 seconds from your door right now, and only I can stop them with my secret plans that I'm not going to tell you about until you surrender your freedom or authority or power over to me.
Okay.
And, now, why did you do that? But that always works. You create a lot of fear, and then you get people to hand over freedom in order to feel secure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it always works. That's how we're voting Patriot Acts, and we're turning everything over to the NSA because they'll keep us safe, even though we do this complete cognitive weirdness of, you know, we hate big government, and I want the government to be as big and powerful as possible in the NSA because they're going to keep us safe. Turn everything. I want my whole private life that they know about because they may know about the private life of some other guy who's going to try to attack me. I want them as powerful as possible, even though I don't want the government to have any power.
We do it in the media with our teases. Coming up next, you can't miss what's in your kitchen and is going to kill you
tonight.
Under
your cabinet, and it's about to stab you. Next. So that is the fear corner so far. And I'll have more on this in the weeks and days to come.
We're going
to
hear more about this?
No, we're not going to hear any more about this. That's just fear corner.
All right, Gordo, thanks. That's